the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
RTE Saints, Scholars and Scandals is the new book by former Minister Shane Ross. Good to see you, Shane. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Matt, and thank you very much indeed.
Listen, before we talk about the book, two things I need to say first. First of all, how are you? Because I think we need to explain to listeners that it's not the voice of Shane Ross that we would have known on this programme for nearly 30 years at this stage.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for asking. I got a dose of cancer there in 2024 in the throat. And it's taken a while to recover, but I'm fully recovered. My health is very good, actually. But, you know, the treatment has side effects, and chemo is, you know, chemo takes no prisoners as such. And it did a bit of damage to my vocal cords. That's why the voice is like that. But they're recovering. I mean, they were down to about zero a little while ago. And they're recovering almost by the day. So I'm fine, actually. Thank you very much. You know, I'm doing everything else except talking very well.
Well, I'm sure there's nobody who would wish you ill will, but I can imagine one or two people who might have liked the idea of a speechless Shane Ross, perhaps.
Including members of my family, I think, as well. But they're not going to get that for the moment, I'm afraid.
But how scary an experience was it for you?
It's pretty rough when you get it on day one. It's the breaking of it, which is so strange, because you go in, you think you're going to get the diagnosis you do to get. You think you've got cancer anyway, but you kind of hope you don't. And when you're told it, you kind of are shocked, because your life immediately changes that minute. And you have to say for the doctors and the medical system, and everybody gets a terrible knocking from everybody, including me. Once they got you there, they just move. It's a quite extraordinary experience. You know, you're out of action immediately, almost, into doing tests, chemo and radiotherapy and all that. Your life is just gone and devoted to that for maybe 3 or 4 months. So that's, you know, that's a tough bit, but it's a great thing to kind of get better. You know, you do feel very grateful, because you are facing some pretty unnerving moments during those few weeks. And so, you know, it's great when you feel you're recovering and you know you're recovering.
When you got hit with the diagnosis, were you already working on this book?
Yes. Oh, yes, it was. That's why it's 3 years after 2023, which is when it happened. Yeah, I was well into it. I was due to come out. I was three quarters of the way through. And I had to abandon that at that stage. And we had to kind of reposition it as a result, because the publishers, Atlantic, were very good about it. They just said, fine, you go and do what you have to do, and no problem about that whatsoever. We'll resume when you're ready. I had a kind of, one of my thoughts immediately was, oh, blast, the book's gone, you know. And that's going to mean the contract isn't fulfilled or broken by me. But they were absolutely delightful about it. They just said, we're ready to go ahead. We might adjust the book a bit when you're ready to go ahead again. And it was difficult, because I started writing about 4 months after I got the diagnosis again. And you have these kind of periods then when you can't do anything a bit much. So you kind of hold it off again, and then you start again. So we adjusted the book a bit to increase the amount of historical context. In other words, it's not a book just about Ryan Tubridy and the scandals there, or the related scandals. It goes right back to 1961 to put them in context. And in that way, it was actually very useful, because you can see the origins of the problems of today in 1961.
Did your brush with mortality make you in any way more sympathetic to some of the individuals in the book? And the reason I ask that is because I intended starting by asking you about whatever happened to Dee Forbes, the Director General of RTE, because she failed to give testimony to the Oireachtas committees, citing health reasons. And a lot of people were wondering, well, what are they? But privacy dictated that her health reasons could remain confidential.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to the bottom of what actually happened to Dee Forbes? And were you more sympathetic to her because of your own experiences?
I think the answer to that is not because of my experiences. No, I wasn't. But my initial reaction was, this cannot be a kind of the total villain of the piece that she was made out to be in the Oireachtas hearings, and by her own actions as well. She didn't help herself. And I went out kind of with, is there a way of defending? I'm kind of a bit perverse about things like this. I thought, is there a way of defending her? You know, I did feel sympathetic for her. And I did look at it in that way. But the fact that she vanished completely and utterly and was totally unavailable means that her side of the story, if she ever wants to give it, has not been given. Now, I think the findings of this book are not utterly damning of her, because she's never spoken about it and it wouldn't be fair, but it doesn't help it when somebody just goes completely off the radar. But that there are a lot of people who speak highly of her and still speak highly of her abilities and were astonished at what happened.
Why? What do they speak highly of?
Speak highly of her commercial abilities, that she was very, very good at what she did, which she brought from Discovery Channel, and very ill-equipped to being in production. In other words, she had good commercial qualities, but not good production qualities.
Our editorial understanding?
I think probably very limited indeed.
Okay, now I should also declare here at this stage, and have a drink of water while I say this, that obviously one of the key figures in the book is Noel Kelly of Noel Kelly Management, who represented Ryan Tubridy in dealings with Dee Forbes. And I have a business relationship with Noel Kelly Management, including the Path to Power podcast, which he does in his company does in association with me. So I want to just declare that for listeners.
Thank you.
Would you not have perhaps also have thought, if you say you sort of come at this from a perverse point of view, looking from the other side, have shown some rare sympathy perhaps to Ryan Tubridy rather than making him, in many respects, the villain of the book?
I don't think he's the villain. I don't think he is at all. We go into his history, which a lot of people don't know anything about. And that was very, very interesting. He was the catalyst. He was there. And when the Tubridy issue broke, everything else broke underneath him. In other words, it opened the way to the barter accounts. The barter accounts opened the way to all the talk about the flip-flops and the Soho Club and things like that. And then the corporate governance issues burst open. But he was obviously, it broke on him, so he was unlucky in that case. And he obviously did a lot of things which were completely unacceptable. But to make him the villain, no, what I did do was I did a chapter on him and found out things about him which I think people would be very interested in.
Okay. Was what happened with Ryan Tubridy, though, the worst thing to have happened within RT in that era? Was it? It might have been the thing that was the sexiest from the point of view of public scandal and public outrage and political consternation. But wasn't the sense of having the bogus self-employed status of hundreds of RT employees and their essentially their mistreatment in many respects a far bigger issue, and in fact a big issue in itself, and that shouldn't happen at any company, but to happen at the national broadcaster partly funded by the state, does that not make that a bigger scandal?
That is a big scandal. Of course that is. It's absolutely unacceptable. But the point about Tubridy is that he epitomised and outed, in a sense, the culture of secrecy within RT, which permeates all the scandals. And he was the big personality who actually also perpetuated that by obviously not challenging the figures when they were released. And
Shane, would you have challenged the figures if you'd been in his shoes?
Yeah.
And if you had been offered this deal to do extra public appearances for extra money, and if then your employer did not report that in the accounts, would you actually have put your hand up and said, sorry, actually, that's wrong, that's incorrect?
Yeah, I think it would. I mean, I think it's a hypothetical question, so I can't say that. And I can't say whether I would or would not have accepted more money in that situation. When other people were suffering, when the rest of the staff were asked to, you know, have setbacks. But I'm not portraying myself as holier than thou in any sense. But what he didn't do was, and I think I probably would have done this, for the very reason that I might have been found out would have been the basic one.
Right? The fear of being caught.
Correct. I mean, what was so strange about what Rand Tarbury did was, he, when the figures came out, he kept his head down and he said nothing. And the basic reason, the most sensible thing to do, because though that this was bound to come out, if you thought about it sooner or later that this deal was done, was to put your hand up and say, hey, no, those figures are wrong. And instead he kept quiet. That was foolish as well as greedy.
Okay, can I throw this one at you?
Yeah.
And again, I'm just asking these questions. I'm not saying this is my personal point of view.
Yeah.
But could it be that as much as a culture of secrecy, what really has undermined RT is a culture of arrogance and entitlement? Partly brought about by the fact that it is in receipt of government funds, but also in receipt of commercial revenue. And by being the biggest beast in the jungle, it beats its chest and behaves that way all the time. Is that not the bigger issue?
No, I don't think it's the bigger issue. I think it's an issue, but it's always been an issue. You know, it was a monopoly for so long, and it was a monopoly really until people like you came to challenge it and others. And so, I, you know, it's kind of a permanent and unacceptable feature in some ways, certainly. But I think the biggest issue here is to conquer this culture where nobody told anybody anything really that was going on. And that goes back to Gay Burns, certainly, and probably before it, but I don't know whether it happened.
Yeah, but let's talk about the here and now.
Yeah.
Because you're reasonably complimentary to the current Director General, Kevin Backhurst, who did speak to you and spoke up in defence of some people that he felt had been treated somewhat perhaps unfairly by the whole nature of the investigation into Ryan Tuberty and other events at the time.
Yeah.
But he's received a guaranteed three-year funding, $725 million guaranteed from the state, partly licence fee money, but also top-ups. What has he done in his time to actually repurpose RT for the future? Because the scale of redundancies would never, ever be allowed in the private sector. It would have been far deeper and far faster than what has happened within RT. And on the television side, certainly, what sense do you get that RT is repositioning itself for the inevitable further decline in audience because of the availability of streaming?
I think you've got to be fair to him and give him a chance. I think this is very important.
Shane Ross goes soft. What is happening?
No, I've not gone soft on anybody. I've been very critical of him in many other ways as well. And I can tell you where I think he's gone really badly wrong, but I think we're lucky in one sense that he comes in clean as a whistle. He wasn't involved in any of these things. He was very lucky. He actually didn't get the job in
when Dee Forbes beat him to the job.
He was very lucky that she did, I think, in the sense that he went off for a few years. She beat him to the job and he came back. He came in afterwards when all and inherited all the bad things. What he is, I think, to a large extent now, he's not a prisoner, but he doesn't have too many options. RT at this stage, the situation was so bad that they're doing some quite radical things. And they called in Niamh Brennan, who's a consultant, accountant, to look at the very basic things you're talking about from start to finish.
She's a corporate governance expert.
Yeah, and a very, very fine one, and with absolutely no axe to grind on this. And she made 90 recommendations to RTE, and they are mostly about corporate governance, which is the basic problem. She didn't name, in any sense, anybody, really, of being culpable, but she said the following things have to be done. And what Kevin Backhurst is doing, as far as I can see, not fast enough, because RTE never moves fast enough, is implementing them as far as he can. And the government immediately put its hand up and said, we'll implement them. RTE immediately put its hands up and said they will implement them in full.
Yeah, but corporate governance is very important, not disputing that. But the issue is actually far more fundamental, that if it wasn't a business receiving so much money from the state to guarantee its continued survival, it would probably be out of business because it hasn't addressed all of the issues in relation to its costs and also in relation to what it can be as a broadcaster for the future.
I agree with a lot of that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And I think the problem that RTE faces, which is partly a funding problem, which is the basis of a lot of the things, the scandals that arose, has been fudged. And Kevin Backhurst is going to have, in 2028, a real problem again, accounting for whether he's actually implemented those things which Brennan recommended or not. And he got 725 million, very luckily. And the reason he got it was because there was a general election coming up, and the government didn't want to go to an election without this problem being resolved. So the answer is yes and no. He has started. But there is a fudge in existence which isn't a fundamental attack on what's happened.
Well, one final thing.
Yeah.
And the sales of your book might actually be a good indicator as an answer to this question.
Yeah.
Does RTE matter as much to the Irish public anymore?
Well, you know it doesn't.
And what happened in 2023 that it was almost like what happened to Fianna Fáil in the 2011 general election or the bust. Okay, the collapse in numbers in RTE has been nowhere near as sharp or as fast as what happened to Fianna Fáil. But Fianna Fáil was the 20th century giant of politics, is no longer the giant of politics. Yeah. RTE was the 20th century monopoly giant in Irish media.
Yeah.
And is no longer that case. And could it be that it is just that people aren't going to be as interested in RTE in the future, particularly younger generations?
The evidence is already patently clear that that's the case. RTE is declining in numbers, partly due to yourself and other people. And that is absolutely fair. It's facing that sort of competition. And it should continue to do so. And if it withers, and part of the programme is it's got to be smaller.
Yeah, but Kevin Backhurst gets that.
Yes.
But do you think, do the other people working at RTE get it?
I think they'll resist it. Absolutely, totally resist it. Why not? There's a voluntary redundancy programme in existence, and that's, 400 people going to be out of work as a result of that. No, they will certainly resist it. But I think you'll find that no government here will allow a national broadcaster to collapse. And that was always the great but unacceptable weapon which Kevin Backhurst wielded during those negotiations. He basically was saying to them, okay, let us collapse. What are you going to do about that? And no government's going to do that. So there's always going to be, in the future, some sort of RTE. You and, News Talk and Today FM may kill it dead in effect, but they'll still be in existence. A national broadcaster of sorts.
Shane Ross, great to see you and have you in such fine fettle. The book is RTE, Saints, Scholars and Scandals.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.